Ches Tammuz, Sunday the 2nd of July, Rabbi Moshe Levi, Being Happy in the Summer. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by the Refuah Shleima of Avram Ben Sora Cherna Neyoir.
Morning.
Morning.
Over the past few years, I think we've been shooting about different themes in the summer.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what we have said, but we haven't said. I remember a few years ago we said the Koyach HaDibor. You have in Parashat Balot Echad Miriam speaking bad against Moshe Rabbeinu. You have the spies speaking bad against Eretz Yisrael. You have Korach speaking bad against Moshe Rabbeinu and causing machloket. You have Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock instead of speaking to it. You have Bilam trying to curse the Jewish people. A couple of weeks we read Bichol HaYotzeh MePiv Ya'aseh. We spoke about the Koach HaDibur. I believe we also spoke about the Koach HaRe'iyah and seeing what you want to see, etc. And I don't remember if we've spoken about it, but we definitely haven't taken it to this extent. Another idea that I think we can see in the summer parashiyot. I didn't see anyone say this. I didn't see this in any sefer, so feel free to disagree. But I thought to myself, I'm from America, the summer usually starts towards the end of June, and we read Parashat Baalot, Parashat Shelach Lecha. Shelach Lecha Anashim, Moshe Rabbeinu sends out the people to check out Eretz Yisrael, and they're known as the spies. And the Mefarshim goes through at length what exactly they did wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu sends them out and says, go check out the land. Is it a good land or not? Go check out the people and tell us what the people are like. Go check out and tell us if the place is fortified, well fortified or not. Bring back some fruit. And they go and they come back and they answer all the questions Moshe Rabbeinu asked. What exactly did they do wrong? So, not our class for now, but the Malbim says something very interesting. He says, you're in charge of a nation. Yeah. You're going to send out some spies to Syria to check out ISIS. How many spies are you going to send together at the same time to go check it out? One, two. Would you ever send out 12 spies, a whole group? Crazy, no way. You're going to tell them, go check out, see what ISIS is doing, come back, and by the way, bring back some falafel and hummus. Would you do that? No, what does bringing back food have to do with anything? So says the Malbim, they were never meant to be miragalim, they were never meant to be spies. Only in Parashat Devarim does Moshe call them the spies. They were only supposed to go check out the land. See the land, Umaha Aretz, Hashemenayim Raza. Check out the people, because that's indicative of the land. If they're strong people, it shows it's a good land. If it's well fortified, there's something to protect. Bring back fruit, it's all about the land. No one asked them to give a report as to whether or not we could win the war. And that's one answer what they did wrong, but still, most Mefarshim, they don't say that the Miragelim did wrong by coming back and reporting. What most Mefarshim say is that they saw everything, the very tainted view. As you all know, they tell a story about a guy, he goes to the doctor, he says, doctor, I don't know what's wrong, everything hurts. He says, I touch my cheek, it hurts. I touch my leg, it hurts. I touch my arm, it hurts. I touch my head, it hurts. Everything hurts. The doctor says, this is very peculiar. Everything. He comes back after a few minutes, he says, I figured it out. He says, what's wrong? He says, you have a broken finger. Of course, everything you touch hurts. The Meragelim saw everything in a very tainted way because they were wearing very specific type of glasses. They wanted to find problems, whether it was consciously or subconsciously, and therefore they found the problems. But the Arizal explains, what was the reason they saw everything with tainted glasses? It's very easy to find problems in everything. In every marriage, you can find a lot of problems. In every child that we have, you can find a lot of problems. In every situation, every rav, every committee, everything, you can find problems if you're looking for problems. Why were they looking for problems? Says the Arizal, because they didn't want to lose their jobs. They know we're going to Eretz Yisrael, there's new elections, and chances are there's a new committee, new elections, they might lose their jobs. Ultimately, the reason that they gave, the report they gave, what was their demise, what was the downfall of the Jewish people, almost everybody in that generation dies in the desert, is only because these Meragelim, these 12 men were worried, or these 10 men, were worried about their kavod. They're worried about their kavod. I don't want to go in and lose my job. And if I'm going to lose my prestige, everybody's going to have to suffer. I'm willing to bring down everybody. If you gave them a lie detector test, they would have passed. This is what they saw. But they saw what they wanted to see because they were worried about their kavod. You go to the next parasha, parashat Korach. And Korach is willing to go up against Moshe Rabbeinu. And you have to ask yourself, which side were the Jewish people on? Were they backing Moshe, were they backing Korach? And the answer is, they didn't really back either one. They weren't sure who to back. Shocking to think about. You have millions of Jews, they saw. They saw what Moshe could do. He goes up 40 days, 40 nights. He comes back down and they're still not sure. Maybe we should be back in Korach. What did Korach want? He obviously must have been very well respected. He had some good claims. Korach wanted to be the leader. You're the wealthiest man. You have obviously a lot of respect, but it wasn't enough. I want to have the most respect. I want to be the leader. I want to be the one in charge. I need that kavod. Korach was worried about the kavod. In this week's parasha, Balak wants to hire Bilam. He sees Sichon and Og physically couldn't defeat Moshe Rabbeinu. What does he do? He says he got to fight fire with fire. If their Korach is the Korach HaDibur, we need to fight that too. And we'll hire Bilam. How is he going to convince Bilam to come work for him? Is it about the money? It's not about the money. Bilam says, you give me your whole house full of gold and silver, I can't do it. So how does Balak entice Bilam? He says, Chabed, Achabedcha. I'll give you a lot of kavod. A lot of kavod? Now we're talking. Bilam already is apparently a well-respected sorcerer. Doesn't matter, I'm going to get a lot of kavod. Alright, I'm going to do whatever I can and I'll see whatever I want to see. Hashem says don't go, but somehow he sees that differently. So many times there's issues. Why? Because of kavod. People are worried about their kavod. People are worried about their respect. When Hillel learns up the pasuk about poor people, Dai mechsaro asher yechsar lo, what does he say? What does he mean, asher yechsar lo? I think this guy needs food. He thinks, it's very nice, but food's not going to help me marry off my daughter. I need money to buy an apartment. And I'm thinking, Habibi, I don't own anything. I should give you money so you could have more real estate. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what he needs. Dai mechsaro asher yechsar lo, what he's missing out on, what he needs. That's the ultimate tzedakah, and says Hillel, and many people have a problem with this. Not necessarily mefarshim, but many people, they say, says Hillel, if you have somebody who is very wealthy, lost all his money, he's making his weddings in the Savoy, and now he lost his money, he can't afford it, it's 100% tzedakah at the beginning, till he adjusts, to give him money, so that he can make another wedding in the Savoy, even though now he's poor. And you'll say, are you kidding me? You have poor people, they don't have what to eat. This guy wants to make a fancy wedding. It's the same tzedakah. It's impossible. I'm not buying a rabbi, someone said to me once. Doesn't make any sense. But Hillel doesn't just talk the talk. The Gemara tells a story back in the day when someone was very wealthy. Someone used to run in front of their carriage and announce that they were coming. There was once a wealthy man. Nobody wanted to give tzedakah for such a cause. Hillel himself ran in front of this man's carriage, announcing that he was coming. And Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitt says, Zaken ve'en lofi kivodo. This is the Godo Ador. This is the Resh Geluta. This is the head rabbi, and he's running in front of a car. How could it be? Even if you hold a tzedakah, but how could you do such a thing as a Rav? Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitt, this person, it must have been safek bikoach nefesh. He needed the kavod, he needed the respect so much that it would have killed the guy to not have to. Who knows if he would have had a heart attack and died if someone didn't run. Hillel says, it's not about my kavod, I'll run in front. And again, I know nothing about Kabbalah, but I've heard some interesting ideas I thought I would share. You read Parashat Korach. In Parashat Korach, you're trying to understand, why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu pray for Korach? Pray for the people. Try and help them out. You want to show them that Hashem chose you as opposed to choosing Korach? Make a different sign than the earth swallowing them up. Say, you know what? If I'm right, it's going to snow in the desert in the middle of the summer. That will show people. It's the sun's not going to rise. I don't know what. Why have to? So it says Rabbeinu Bachya says Al Pi Kabbalah, doesn't usually go this way, but the Maran Bet Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Kar, used to learn every day with a Magid. The different levels of angels, Magid. There's a book, Magid Mesharim, all the different things the angel taught him, and the angel said to him, quickly make sure that you finish writing your Shulchan Aruch, because there's another guy on the other side of the world, named Moshe Issel Isterama, writing the same type of book. Another thing that the Magid told him was, make sure you study Chovot HaLevavot, written by Rabbeinu Bachya. Chovot HaLevavot. Study Chovot HaLevavot, that's the Musar Sefer that you should study. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, what's going on over here in Parashat Korach? It's not just Parashat Korach. Vayakumu lifnei Moshe. These people, they're already here before Moshe. These people are reincarnations, says Rabbeinu Bachya. Says you look in the book of Bereshit, and there's a couple of really bad generations. One of which is the Dor HaPelaga, the generation that wanted to build a tower and fight Hashem. And you look at what exactly they said. They said, Vayomru, Hava nivne lanu ir, let's build a city. Umigdal and a tower. Viroshu b'shamayim, and its head will be in the shamayim, v'naase lanu shem, and we'll make for ourselves a name. We'll make for ourselves a name. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, you look a few parashiyot later, Parashat Vayera, and what happens? Parashat Vayera, you have the city of Sidom, terrible generation. And the pasuk says, "Ve'anshe ha'ir, anshe Sidom." The people of the city, the people of Sidom. Says Rabbeinu Bachya. Obviously, the people just say, "Ve'anshe Sidom." Why does it say, "Ve'anshe ha'ir, anshe Sidom"? Says Rabbeinu Bachya, because these people were already here. What does it mean, "Anshe ha'ir, anshe Sidom"? The people of Sidom are the same ones, "Anshe ha'ir." Vayamru havna nivne lanu ir. We want to build a city. These people are the same people. Hashem gave them a chance. And they want to fight Hashem. Hashem gave them another chance and they're terrible people. They don't want to share, they don't want to give. I earned it. It's mine. I worked hard for my money. I don't want to give tzedakah. And what do the angels do when they come and they want to break down the doors of Lot's house? It makes them blind. Why blind? So again, I didn't see anyone say this, but I thought to myself, who are these people? What are they worried about? Na'aseh lanu shem. We want to make for ourselves a name. They're worried about their kavod. We want everyone to talk about us. Look at what we built. Look at what we can do. Look at how amazing we are. These same people, anybody who has an addiction, whether it's drugs, alcohol, gambling, whatever it might be, any psychiatrist will tell you, the root of the problem, narcissism. They're worried about themselves. They don't care that they're ruining their family. They don't care if they're ruining their business, their partnership, their whatever it might be. They can only see themselves. What are people going to say about me? The Rambam brings down interestingly. It says early psychiatrists and psychologists, they said the root of all problems is desire. A person has a desire for women. A person has a desire for money. Says the Rambam, that's not it. Says, I'll prove it to you. Somebody has an overwhelming desire for a woman. But he knows, if word gets out, I'll lose my reputation. What is he... Usually he's able to control himself. Why? Because he's worried about his kavod and his reputation more than he is about controlling his urges. A guy has an opportunity to steal, but he knows if I get caught, it'll be in the newspaper, everybody will talk about me, I can't show my face in shul. He's not going to do it. The people that do it convince themselves they won't get caught. But if you told someone there's a good chance you're going to get caught, if you cheat, if you steal, they wouldn't do it. Why not? Because their kavod overrides their desire. Or whatever it might be. We need the kavod. These people, they want to build a city and they're going to have kavod. I want everyone to see how good I am. I want everyone to see and acknowledge, look at my house, look at my car. Look at what I've been able to achieve, look at what I built. Why does Hashem and the angels make these people blind? Because if you're blind, you can't see people respecting you. If you're blind, you don't get the kavod. You don't know who's looking at you, who's talking about you. Hashem says, we're going to punish them. We're going to make them blind. You look at Parashat Korach, and what does it say? Vayikach Korach. What did he take? So if you look in English, it'll say Korach separated himself. Where do they get that from? They get that from the Targum Unkelus. Says Targum, Vayikach Korach, Vayit Paleg Korach. Where do we ever see this word Vayit Paleg? The Torah Pilaga. The Ben Ubachi says that Targum Unkelus is trying to hint to us. Hey, these people, this is the Dora Pelaga people. And what does it say in the second Pasuk? Vayikalu Moshe Aaron v'yomru alehem. Rav lachem ki chol ha'eda kulam kidoshim. Uptocham Hashem. Oh, excuse me, the second Pasuk. I read the third Pasuk. Vayakumu lifnei Moshe v'anashim v'neiser ha'meshim v'atayim. The 250 men get up. Nisye eda. What's the next words? Kriye moed. Anshe Shem. What does it mean, Anshe Shem? These are the same people that said, "Bo na'aseh lanu shem." We want to build a city and we'll make for ourselves a name. Anshe Shem, they're worried about their kavod, their reputation. And it's very interesting because when Moshe comes to Datan ba'Aviram, what does Datan ba'Aviram say? We're not coming up. Even if you do what? Even if you... Oh, even if you gouge out our eyes. Ma keshe. What Shaykh is gouging out our eyes? What is that? What does that have to do with anything? Rabbeinu Bachya, Freudian, if you will, Lahavdil, says people that threaten you, quite often they're worried about that thing. Someone threatens you, you do that to me and I'll expose you. It means he's worried about being exposed. You do that to me and I'll make sure you lose all your money. That guy cares about his money. If the Tamba Aviram is saying, even if you gouge out our eyes, first of all, they're referring to the people in Sidom that lost their eyes, lost their vision, became blind. But ultimately, they're also worried about their kavod. Even if you gouge our eyes, subconsciously, they're saying that would be the worst punishment for us. Because if we don't have the eyes, we can't see people giving us the kavod. Over and over, you see this concept of kavod. And then you get to the end of this week's parasha. And again, I know nothing about Kabbalah. I'm just quoting from the Rama Mipano. It's a book called Sefer Gilgulei Neshamot. And he brings down at the end of this week's parasha, Bilam realizes he can't curse the Jewish people, so he puts in action plan B. What's plan B? We'll send out the Benot Moab and the Benot Midian to entice the Jewish people. Hashem hates promiscuity, Hashem hates Zinut. I'll send them out. But he doesn't just send out all the regular people. We know that there's a princess. Kozvi Batsur. She goes out, and the head of the Chevet of Shimon doesn't get any greater than the head of the Shvatim. He goes, and we're trying to understand what's going on over here. And the Mefashim also asked, how come this is a trilogy? At the end of the parashah, talks about this. Then it continues next week with parashat Pinchas, who got up, and this week's parashah spears him. And then all the way in parashat Matot, you have the war against Midian, Nekomet Mikat Midianim, Ve'achar Tasef El Amecha. You have to go tell us the whole story in one parasha. They send out the Benot Moab and Benot Midian. Pinchas gets up and kills them. They go to war and they finish off and they take Nekama and take revenge. Why does it get spread over three parashiyot? So parashat Matot talks about making Nidarim. Says the Rama Mipano, Kabbalistically, who is Kozbi in this week's parasha? And if you look at the letters, Kozbi stands for Kozbi Zu Bat Yiftach. The word Kozbi stands for Kozbi Zu Bat Yiftach. Who is Yiftach? Who's the daughter of Yiftach? In our Navi. In our Navi we explain Yiftach. Made an edit. It makes a promise. 100%. It's a Gugulei Neshamot. He's talking about the Gugulim, the reincarnations. Kozbi gets killed by Pinchas. What happens? Says that Rama Mipano, she comes back as Bat Yiftach. This is a princess. What's she doing going around being Mizaneh? She listens to her father. The Midrash brings down that she comes and she says, where's Moshe Rabbeinu? The head of Nasi of Shevet Shimon, Zimri ben Salu, comes and says, why Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm older. I come from the tribe of Shimon. He's the tribe of Levi. I'm a Nasi. She says, my father told me. I don't have time to read it. My father told me. She has this epic kibbut avayim. Yiftach, hundreds of years later, makes a neder. He's going out to war versus the goyim, and he says, Hashem, if I'm able to come back victorious, the first thing that comes out of my barn, I will bring to you as a sacrifice. Whatever it might be, He comes back victorious. Out of the barn comes his daughter. His daughter. And now he's stuck. What does he do? Can you bring a human being as a korban? So most opinions say that no, she went, she lived up in the mountains, her friends would visit her once a year. She was kadosh, she was mikudeshet. By the way, who? The mefarshim or the Hashem's upset. Should have done hatarat nedarim. You can absolve your vows. But he says, I'm the head guy, I'm the main person over here, says Yiftah. I'm the general, I'm the leader of the Jewish people. Let the Kohen Gadol come to me. Who was the Kohen Gadol at the time? Pinchas. Pinchas doesn't want to absolve the vow. Why? Because that has to be her tikkun. She went and she had zinut physically, so now she has to abstain and never get married. That's her tikkun. Because bizu bat Yiftah. She has to fix the sin of being immodest and immoral. And then says that Amami Pano, because bihi Izebel. She comes back as Izebel. We know who was Izebel trying to kill her whole life? Eliyahu Navi. Who is Eliyahu Navi? Eliyahu Zupinchas. Not by coincidence. And then says that Amami Pano, Vitikuna, what was her tikkun? What does Batsur stand for? Bechayea Tavat Sadiq Ve'eshed Rufus. Says that Amami Pono Tikanu Aita Eshet Tornis Rufus. She's the wife of Eshet Rufus. Now we know the story. The Gemara Masechet Nedarim Daf Nun brings down. Manish Tosha Tornis Rufus, Roman general. Adon Echad Shmo Rufus. Vaya Mepeh Bedevre Torah Keneg Rabbi Akiva. Vaya Rabbi Akiva Menatzcho Kol Pam Vepam. They would have debates, and every time Rabbi Akiva would put him down. And in the Gemara discusses many of these discussions. Vaya oto adon mit vayesh. Rufus is coming home embarrassed every day. Baba siper li ishtam, ralo ani fato al entice Rabbi Akiva. And once he's enticed, the Jewish God hates promiscuity. And he won't be able to defeat you anymore. Bachshileu, I'll bring him down. Lefishaya hayta yifat tor. Biyoter, boto, ba'ata etzlo, she comes to Rabbi Akiva. And he's not even willing to look at her, he spits, says the Gemara. V'rak, Rabbi Akiva, v'sachak, and he left, u'bacha, and he cried. She sees Rabbi Akiva is able to control her urges, his urges. And she's so impressed. Amrala, madu asita ken, why'd you spit, why'd you laugh, why'd you cry, Amrala? And he says to her, he explains to her, I spit because I'm disgusted with the way you're acting. He laughed, and he cried, Mifrashin, the Gemara explains, he laughs. He cries because he sees how she's going to die, and he laughs because he sees that he's eventually meant to marry her. She's so impressed, she wants to convert. And eventually she converts, and we don't have time now to go through the history, but she converts and she marries Rabbi Akiva, and Rufus comes to her and says, come back to me or I'm going to kill Rabbi Akiva. After he gets caught, she says, go ahead, I'll kill you, go ahead. Rabbi Akiva cries because he sees how she's going to die. That's her tikkun. To be married to Rabbi Akiva, and continues that Amami Mipano. V'yadua ki Izebel hayta rodefet Eliyahu shu Pinchas and komi menu. Zimri, who is Zimri? Zimri, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, he is Zimri. He comes back as Zimri. And this helps us explain many things. First of all, Rabbi Akiva, how does he get killed? They're sitting there and they're combing his skin. And everyone's crying. How could this be? The angels are crying. Zu Torah, Zu Skarah. This is the reward for Torah, but now it makes perfect sense. Why does it make perfect sense? Why does Rabbi Akiva's skin need to get combed of all the five senses when he was Zimri? Which sense did he use? The sense of touch. His skin is the one that's Tameh. The skin needs to be rectified and purified. Everyone's crying. What does it say in this week's parasha? And my bochim, they're all sitting there at the tent crying. Rabbi Akiva says, my whole life I'm waiting. What are you waiting to die al Kiddush Hashem? He sat there and he made a terrible Chilul Hashem. He has to rectify this Avera. Continues the Ramah Mipano. Zimri. Who was Zimri? Zimri is hundreds of years old. Zimri hu haya ben Dina. Kodem shenasa'a Shimon. Dina gets raped by Shken ben Chamor. She gets pregnant. She has a child. Shimon then goes and marries Dinah. Who was this child? This child is Zimri. Zimri sees this woman. It wasn't about temptation. He sees this woman, Kozbi Batsur, he says, I'm meant to marry this woman. He's 1,000 years old. He's an old man. It wasn't about ta'ava. He says, I'm destined to marry this person. Great things are supposed to come. How many students did Rabbi Akiva have? 24,000. What's the last pasuk of this week's parasha? How many people die in the plague? 24,000. Who were these nishamot, says the Rama Mipano? The 24,000 Shemit, Meshevet Shimon Beshchem. You have a bunch of people in Shechem. They had a brit milah. They were willing to convert to Judaism. I'm sure they had ulterior motives and it was about money and Shechem convinced them. You had 24,000 people that had a brit milah. Shimon and Levi, they come and they wipe them out. Who were these 24,000? Says the Rama Mipano, these 24,000, they were the 24,000 in Shechem, they're the 24,000 that die in the plague, and they're the 24,000 students of Bi'a Kiva. There's more to say, but we've run out of time. And I thought to myself, what's the reason that Rabbi Akiva's students die? Shunahagu Kavod. Once again, what do we see in the parashiyot? It's about the Kavod. You have the Avera of Baal Peor. It's a crazy Avera. They come and they defile themselves and they use the toilet in front of the Avodah Zarah. Why would that be an Avodah Zarah? And the Mefarshim explain. Because you're trying to show your own God, I don't care about anything. I don't respect anything. And that stayed with them, says the Rama Mipano. That lack of kavod that they had when they did the Avodah Zarah Baal Peor, that stayed with them, with their nishamot, even when they were the students of Bi'a Akiva. Shonagu kavod. Over and over and over through the summer, we see this concept. Kavod. The Meragelim brought us all down. They needed their kavod. Korach caused massive machloket because of kavod. In the summer, you have more time. You go on holiday and you spend time with the family. And there's almost always issues. What does it usually come down to? It's not about the money. Which often means it's about the money. But when it's not about the money, what do people say? It's the principle of the matter. That's another nice way of saying it's about the kavod. It's about the kavod. I heard one Rav say, people talk about the shiduk crisis. There's a terrible shiduk crisis. So there's no shiduk crisis. There's a kavod crisis. Yes. There's a kavod crisis. I had so many people that were much higher and much better, and that they're not even in my league. Kavod. I'm gonna settle. I should let my daughter go with that family, with this person. But kavod. There's a kavod crisis. And you get together with other friends and other families over the summer. Because Baruch Hashem, you go away. And there's issues. And so often, ultimately, what's really the issue? Kavod. Al-Karatzal Bar-Kamsa Nechreva Yerushalayim. What was the problem? It was a mistake. We don't want you here at the wedding. Please leave. I'll pay for my food. I'll pay for the whole wedding. Who does that? Get up and leave quietly. I don't think they went up in shul and made a whole big thing. Please leave. They probably came over, I would hope. They came over privately. But when you're so worried, what's everyone going to say about me? What's everyone going to think about me? Kavod! Kavod! I'll pay anything, I'll do anything. The guy gets on the boat, goes all the way to Rome, somehow gets a meeting with the Caesar, and he's willing to bring down everybody. The Jews are rebelling against you. Why? Because they were pogea in my kavod. They embarrassed me. How dare they do that to me? So often that's the problem. Moshe Rabbeinu is buried where? Where does it tell us Moshe is buried? Opposite Baal Peor. Opposite where they had that whole Toevah and the whole problem. Ma Kesher. What does Moshe Rabbeinu have to do with Baal Peor? There's nothing to do with it. But if you understand what was the problem of Baal Peor, what does it cause? It causes a lack of kavod. It causes people to feel, look at me, I'm so great, I don't even have respect for anything. You need a Moshe Rabbeinu Anav Mikol Adam, the most humble man who ever lived, to counteract that tumah. To counteract the tumah of kavod. There's a lot more to say, and I had a few more ideas and stories, but a different time. Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll make sure we work on ourselves. When it comes to our spouse, when it comes to our children, when it comes to our parents, to our boss, to our neighbors, mechutanim, whoever it might be. So often, what's the problem? The shidduch crisis? It's kavod. We'll make sure that we are able to humble ourselves, to work on ourselves. The gilgulim, it stays with us, no matter which generation, if we don't work on our midot, we come back again to work on it, again and again and again. Whether it was the door of the pilaga, or the same thing happened to them when they were in the times of Abraham Avinu, or the same thing that happened to them in Korach, or Kozbi Batsur, over and over and over, Eliyahu, Pinchas, the Bi'akiva, 24,000, Shalom Ha'agu Kavod. We have to make sure we work on ourselves, and Be'ezat Hashem, and that Zechut, we'll be able to humble ourselves, we'll be able to have ultimate achdut and unity, and in that support we'll have Mashiach Tzekeinu Amen.